Okay, we have a lot of catch-up work to do over here. I'm still in on Parshas Tetzaveh, which was Shabbos Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim. All the messages of the Torah are eternal and are always relevant. So the pasuk says in Parshas Zohar, the end of Parshas Kisetze, the pasuk says, V'hoya b'haniach Hashem alekach alocham akol evecha misaviv. It will be when Hashem will give you rest from all of your enemies that surround you. V'oret asher Hashem alekach noisen lecha nachlo l'rishta. In the land that Hashem your God gives you as an inheritance. Erase the memory of Amalek from underneath the heavens. Lo tishkach, do not forget. Please put your phones on mute. So, I would like to understand why the Torah needs to use the word misaviv. It says, when Hashem will give you rest from all your enemies, misaviv, that surround you. Why do we need that the word misaviv? Should have just said, when Hashem will give you rest from all of your enemies. Secondly, why does the pasuk say, erase the memory of Amalek mitachas Hashemayim, from underneath the heavens? It's pretty obvious that that's where we need to erase the memory of Amalek from. Why does the pasuk need to mention mitachas Hashemayim? There's a Gemara in Masechtas Megillah Daf Tes Vav. Where the Gemara says that when Esther reached the chamber of Ahasuerus to come invite him for the feast that she had made for him and for Haman, so the pasuk says that when she reached the chamber of the king, the Shechinah departed from her, and she said, Kapitel Chaf Beis in Tehillim, which begins with Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani. She said, my God, why have you deserted me? And when she said that, the Shekhinah returned. So we need to understand why the Shekhinah departed from her in the first place when she reached the chamber of the king. And why did she specifically daven with this expression of Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani? My God, why have you deserted me? On Purim, there are four mitzvahs. There is the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, of reading the Megillah, and then there's the mitzvah of Mishleach Manos, sending gifts, food gifts to our friends. And then there's the mitzvah of Matanos Lavyoinim, giving gifts to the poor. And then there's the mitzvah of Mishta V'Simcha, of feasting and rejoicing. So, the only one of those four mitzvahs we make a bracha on is the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, reading the Megillah. We don't make a bracha on the other three, and many reasons have been given for this, and I'd like to suggest a reason for this. So I'd like to suggest that we can understand this all based on the known concept that the klipa of Amalek is, as the pasuk says, Zochar es asher asa lecha Amalek, remember what Amalek did to you. Asher korcha baderech, Amalek was korcha. So korcha, Rashi says, means mikra. It comes from the word mikra, which is he happened upon you. The klipa of Amalek is to depend everything on mikra, to depend everything on to attribute everything to happenstance and to circumstance, not to attribute anything to any higher power. Amalek believes that we are dependent on nature, and therefore everything has to be has to have a reason. Everything has to be answered according to nature. Everything is underneath the heavens. There is nothing above the heavens that is controlling anything. That is the klipa of Amalek. We B'nai Yisrael, we have a mitzvah, timcha ezeichar Amalek mitachas hashemayim, erase the memory of Amalek from underneath the heavens. A yid needs to believe emunah shleima that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam controls everything. Nothing is controlled by nature. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam controls nature. There is no such thing as happenstance. There's no such thing as an occurrence. Everything has rhyme and reason. There's hashgacha pratis, Hashem controls every aspect of our individual lives. There's no such thing as mikra. Amalek is ashekorcha. We have a mitzvah to eradicate Amalek. Which Amalek? Mitachas Hashemayim. The Amalek that wants us to believe that everything is controlled from underneath the heavens. So, in other words, Amalek is the one that wants us to attribute everything to a Siba. A Siba is a reason, a cause. Siba is a cause. But we don't believe in the cause. We believe in the Mesabiv Kol HaSibis, in the cause of all causes. And the cause of all causes is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We never put our faith, we never attribute anything to the cause, although the cause might be pretty evident. A Yid is obligated to look deeper, to realize that this cause has a cause. The Mesabiv Kol HaSibis. The Mesabiv Kol HaSibis is the cause of all causes. And the Mesabiv Kol HaSibis, the cause of all causes, is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So the main enemy of Klal Yisrael is called Misaviv. Misaviv is which we usually interpret as that surround us, but the same word is used for a cause. Misaviv Kol HaSibis. Misaviv is the reason why a cause is called Saviv is because that's what surrounds us. The cause is what surrounds us. The cause is what seems so obvious. Oyvecha Misaviv means your enemy called Misaviv. Your enemy that is the cause. That is Klal Yisrael's worst enemy. When we start attributing anything to causes, that is our worst enemy. Because that is what is causing us to ignore the cause of all causes. Oh, he's sick. Well, he probably went out in public without wearing a mask. That's the cause. Totally ignoring the cause of the cause. As Yidden, we believe in the cause of the cause and not in the cause. Oyvecha misaviv. V'hoya ba'aniach Hashem alekech lecha v'kol oyvecha misaviv. When Hashem will give you rest from your enemy, which is the cause. If you want to eradicate Amalek mitachas Hashemayim, you have to first have rest from Oyvecha Misaviv. You can't be attributing things to the enemy called Misaviv, the cause. Now, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the world in a manner that the world should be, meaning the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the world with laws, the laws of nature. And in that sense, the Rebbeinu Shalom was called a king. Melech, the Pasuk says, Melech b'mishpat yamed oretz. The king established the world b'mishpat, with laws of nature. So the world, in general, views the Rebbeinu Shalom as a king. A king that established the world with laws, the laws of nature, and everything, and they attribute everything to those laws. But a Yid doesn't see the Rebbeinu Shalom just as a melech. We see the Rebbeinu Shalom as Keli. He's our God. He's not just our king. He's our God. Our God that controls nature, that controls those laws. So perhaps when Esther was approaching the king's chamber in order to approach the king to nullify the decree against Klal Yisrael, Esther perhaps put too much trust in her efforts, that she was going to go to the king and she was going to ask the king to nullify the decree, and since the king is her husband, she'll be successful. There was a perhaps too much of a reliance on her efforts. So when Gemara says that when she approached the chamber, nistalka mimena shechina, which usually is interpreted that the shechina departed from her, perhaps what the deeper meaning is that the shechina, meaning the sense that that everything is dependent on the shechina, that departed from her, meaning she forgot that for a moment. And then when Esther came to her, Esther realized, hey, what's going on? Did I forget perhaps that this is not going to be due to my efforts? I can't rely on the misabib. I can't rely on natural causes here. I have to rely on the shechina. The Rebbeinu Shalom is not just a melech. Keli, keli. The Rebbeinu Shalom is my God, my God. The God that is the cause of all causes. Lamaz of Tani, how can I have allowed that to desert me? So it wasn't that the Shechina departed from her. Perhaps it was more that she allowed the Shechina to depart from her mind. But she immediately brought it back by saying, Keli, Keli, Lamaz of Tani. Reminding herself that the Rebbeinu Shalom is not just the Melech, he's Keli Keli. Now, someone who doesn't have this emuna, rather someone who attributes things to causes. So there are three results. One is that such a person cannot be besimcha. Such a person can't be joyous, because the person is constantly worried. Since they see themselves totally dependent on natural causes, so therefore there's so much to be worried about, so much to be concerned about. What's going to be with parnosa? What's going to be with my health? And what's going to be with my children? What's going to be with if a person doesn't rely that the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to take care of them, then, and they're totally dependent on the laws of nature, then there's much to be worried about. There's much to be concerned about. So it doesn't allow the person to have a simchas achaim. It doesn't allow the person to have a joy of life. It's only a yid that knows that we can rely on the Rebbeinu Shalom. That the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to take care of us and take care of everything and the Rebbeinu Shalom has us covered. Such a person can enjoy Enjoy life. A person can be besimcha. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be concerned about. We can have betochen under the Rebbeinu Shalom. Number two, another result is that such a person complains about people, such a person has constant strife because this person did something to me and that person did something to me and that person should have done something for me and didn't. If a person doesn't believe that the Rebbeinu Shalom controls the world and that no one can do anything to you unless it's designed from above, so then such a person is full of tainus and machlokes with other people. But if a person has trust in the Rebbeinu Shalom, we know that no one can do anything to me unless it was designed so from above. So even if someone did something to me, I know it's not that person. That person is merely a shliach from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And I must have deserved this for some reason. And that's between me and the Rebbeinu Shalom. It has nothing to do with that person. Such a person is not only at peace with themselves because they have nothing to worry about, they're also at peace with others. The third result is that it's difficult, a person that is dependent on the laws of nature, it's very difficult for such a person to part with their possessions. The person is always concerned that, you know, right now I have money in the bank, but who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Who knows what's going to happen next year, or what the economy is going to be like? You know, I've got to hold on to everything that I own. For such a person to part of their possessions and to give to someone who is less fortunate than they are is very difficult. But our avodah in Purim is to eradicate Amalek, mitachas hashamayim, to eradicate the Amalek that wants us to believe that everything is controlled from underneath the heavens, that everything is dependent on nature. And the way we do that is we read the Megillah. The Megillah, the entire story of Megillah's Esther, is a sequence of events, totally within nature. Yet it is so apparent that it is being controlled from above. A story totally within nature, yet very obvious that the Rebbeinu Shalom was controlling everything. That is how we eradicate Amalek mitachas hashamayim. We read the Megillah. Once we read the Megillah, we come to the realization that it's all being controlled, everything is being controlled from above. So now we can be besimcha. There can be a mishta besimcha. Now we can send gifts to our friends because we get along with everyone. Now we can give gifts to the poor because we can part with our possessions. The other three mitzvahs are just a result of Mikra Megillah. Once we come to the realization through Mikra Megillah that the Rebbeinu Shalom controls everything, then the other three mitzvahs come into play. We can now be besimcha. We have mishta besimcha. We can now give gifts to the poor, and we can now give gifts to our friends because we get along with everyone. So our avodah, and as mentioned before, this is an avodah for all year round, not just on Purim. It's an avodah to get rid of the Oyvecha misaviv, to get rid of the enemy, which is the enemy that wants us to attribute things to causes instead of the cause of all causes. So our avodah is to eradicate Amalek mitachas hashemayim, to eradicate the Amalek, our arch enemy, the Oyvecha misaviv, from underneath the heavens. And we should be zeicha to be besimcha all the time, to have shalom with ourselves, shalom with others, and to be able to give to the poor, and we should be zeicha that the Rebbeinu Shalom and that merit should eradicate Amalek once and for all. B'vias Mashiach. B'meir b'yameinu amen.